We had a bit of a different week last week, so Mr. Dewberry went backwards. We had made it through Matthew chapter 7, and then he went backwards and taught just one short section out of Matthew 6, and he focused on a particular prayer that Jesus was teaching to his disciples. And if everybody remembers, do you remember kind of the three chapters that we just studied, Matthew 5, 6, and 7? Does anybody remember what those are called? They're called the Sermon. All right, the Sermon on the Mount. So this is kind of right, if you remember, this is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's kind of just started to go out and teach people, and he's done some miracles, but he's not really known everywhere yet. So this is kind of one of his longer kind of sermons that we have. And so the people that listened, if you remember, we're going to go back and read the last verse of chapter 7. If you remember, I taught 2 weeks ago on chapter 7. And remember, right at the end, he told this particular parable or story about these two builders. Does anyone remember who those two builders were? What did they build on? Does anybody remember what was the difference between those two builders? Jordan?
One built their house on the rock, and the other one on the sand.
Right. Great job. You were listening. So there was one builder. Jesus said there's this one builder, and he builds his house on the rock, and this other builder builds his house on the sand. And what happens to both of those people? What happens to their house? What comes?
The person who built his house on the rock, when the rain came down, it hit on the sand because a rock was strong.
Okay. Okay, and what happened to the man who built his house on the rock, did he just have a great life and it was sunny days all the rest of his days and it was just perfectly like 70 degrees San Diego weather? No, a big storm came, right? So he had built his house on the rock, but he still had this big storm that came. And the man that built his house on the sand, he had the same kind of storm, right? They both had the same kind of storm come into their life. But what happened to the guy who built his house on the sand? What happened to his house?
Water can expand sand so the sand fell down.
Oh, yes. That's a good explanation. Sand is not very stable, is it? Especially when it gets wet. It really kind of moves and it shifts around, and that's not good for a house, is it? It's not good for a house to have what it's sitting on moving around. That doesn't last very long. So, and this wasn't just a story about where to build your house, right? Jesus had a better purpose of telling the story. And remember what he said was, he said that all of this teaching that he'd been doing, Jesus said, the person that is wise and listens to me, listens to the things I'm teaching and does them and applies them to their life, they are like that wise man that builds their house or builds their, he's kind of saying their life on the rock. Their life is going to stand against those storms that come. But the person who doesn't listen, the person who ignores what Jesus is saying, the person that decides, I'm going to do my own thing and I'm going to decide what's right for me. I don't need somebody to tell me. I certainly don't need God to tell me how to live my life. That person is like this foolish man that builds his house on the sand. And when the storms come into his life, it doesn't go well. His life falls apart. Okay? And so when he tells this story, it says that last verse in verse 28 of chapter 7 says, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowd was amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So all the other kind of religious teachers of the time, they just kind of stood up and they would just read things out of teachings that had been passed down to them. But Jesus came and he was teaching them in kind of a new way and kind of helping them to understand maybe even better what God's intention was for their lives. Okay? And they recognized that, people listening. Well, what we're going to look at in chapter 8 is a little bit different. Jesus doesn't do a lot of teaching in chapter 8. Instead, remember we're talking about Matthew, the book of Matthew. Matthew is one of his what? Matthew is one of Jesus' disciples, right? So Matthew was one of the men that followed Jesus around for almost all of his ministry. We actually haven't gotten to him quite yet. But he followed Jesus around and listened to him and saw the things that he did. Interestingly, all of this stuff that has happened here is things that happened before Matthew joined them. So he's probably writing down what some other people have told him about what Jesus did at this point. But in this chapter, chapter 8, Jesus is not going around and teaching, but he's going around and doing something else that's very incredible. And it's something that gets everyone really excited because you remember in the Old Testament, if you've been coming to ABC Kids, we spent a long time going through the Old Testament and we focused on a lot of kind of miraculous things that happened during the Old Testament with the prophets that came and some of the leaders like Moses and Abraham and Elisha, and some of these prophets did some incredible miracles in the Old Testament. Well, at the time that Jesus came, it had been several hundred years since any prophets had been in Israel. Think about 400 years ago in the United States. What was going on here? What was happening 400 years ago in the United States? Not a whole lot, right? There weren't nearly as many people. There weren't all the cities. Everything was pretty small. There wasn't a lot going on. Imagine if it took 400 years for something to happen again in the United States. That'd be a long time, right? People maybe forgot, you know, about it, or maybe they didn't even believe that it was real anymore. After 400 years, it's easy to forget. It's easy to kind of write things off and say, well, that, okay, I know we have all these things that were written down and they've been told to us, but we've never seen it, so maybe it's not even real. I don't know what they thought, but after 400 years, Jesus starts his ministry and he starts doing things that no one can ignore. And we're going to read about a lot of those here in chapter 8. So we're going to be moving kind of quick, but here's the first thing. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountain, remember he'd just given that big sermon on the mount, came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. So they really liked hearing his teaching. So they're following him. And a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. All right, so the first thing we see, Jesus comes down after teaching this, and this man who has a disease that was not really, it wasn't curable during their time, he comes up and he says, I know that you're special. You're able to heal me. Now, Jesus had healed some people before this sermon. And so there probably had been, you know, reports going out that, hey, there's this really amazing guy. You've got to come see him. If you have these problems, you need to come in and see him because he can help you. And so this man comes and he says, I think you can heal me. I believe you can heal me. And Jesus says, you're right, I can. And he heals him of his disease, and he's perfectly well again. All right, so that's the first thing Jesus does after he finishes this sermon. All right, let's keep going. It says, and then Jesus entered Capernaum, which is a city that's a little distance from where he was teaching. And a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, for just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. All right, so this, if you remember, during the time that Jesus was living and having his ministry in Israel, were the Jewish people in control of their own country? Were they in charge? No. Who was in charge? Who was in charge of them? Well, God was in charge. You're right. Good answer. But who is the empire that was in charge of the whole world at that time? Does anybody know? Roman. Yes, the Roman Empire was in charge of the whole world at this point. So this centurion, he is not a Jewish person. The centurion would have been part of the Roman kind of peacekeeping army that was there. So he is not even Jewish, but he hears about Jesus and he says, that guy, he is special. I need to go talk to him because my servant is paralyzed. I mean, it would be a hard thing to be paralyzed, right? Have you ever known someone who couldn't move and just had to either lay in a bed or had to sit in a wheelchair and they couldn't move their legs? At that time, there weren't doctors like we have today that can help with those kind of things. So he comes to Jesus. He says, I think I need you to heal my servant, and I know you can do it. And Jesus says, that is amazing faith. He's not even Jewish, but he knows the power that I have. He knows, he understands who I am. So Jesus heals the leper, but he's right there beside him. This is even more amazing. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, and it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. So Jesus doesn't even have to do anything. He doesn't have to touch him or do any sort of special, like, you know, give him any sort of medicine or any of those kind of things. Jesus says, the fact that you believe I can do that, I can heal him without even going to your house. So Jesus has shown he has power over a disease when someone's right there next to him. Now he's showing that he has power over this kind of unknown problem that this person had. Even from a distance, he just has to speak and it happens. Who has the power to do that? Does any person, any just human have the power to do that?
No.
What is Jesus doing? Who is he proving that he is? Well, he's Jesus, but who is he proving that he is equal to?
God.
God. So Jesus is showing people that I am God. I have power over these things that you don't have power over. That's what Jesus is saying. All right, so let's keep going. Verse 23 says, when he got into a boat, so they've gone a little bit further. He says, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. How many of you ever been in a boat? You ever ridden in a boat? Have you ever been in a boat where the waves were coming over the top of it?
Yeah.
I hope not. I haven't. That's kind of a scary, that would be a scary thing, wouldn't it? If you were out in a boat and the waves were higher than the sides of the boat and they were coming into the boat, what usually happens when that happens? Oh, you start to sink, right? Well, here's the thing. These guys, they were all, most of them were fishermen. Do you think that they had ever been out on the sea when it was stormy?
Yeah.
I think they'd probably been out on the sea when it was stormy.
They barely was alive.
Well, let's see what happens. The boat was being covered with waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. He'd been doing all these things. They'd been traveling all over. He was tired. He was human. Like us. He's God, but he's also human. He's tired. He's sleeping. And they said to him, and they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." So all these tough fishermen, they understand this storm is so bad, they're in danger of sinking and drowning, because that's how bad the storm is. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Jesus says, "Did you not just see the things that I am able to do?" They don't ask, they're asking, what's the problem? Why aren't you taking care of us? We're going to drown. And Jesus says, "Calm down." And he got up and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men were amazed, and they said, "What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So we saw earlier in the chapter, we see that Jesus has power over diseases and the kind of physical ailments that people have. Now we see that Jesus has power over the physical, the natural world. The wind and the waves listen to him when he speaks. Who's the only one who has power over the wind and the waves? God, right? So again, Jesus is showing his disciples here, I am God. I have authority over these things. All right, we'll go to the very end here. So once they get across the sea, it says they come to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, and two men who were demon-possessed met him as they were coming out of the tombs. And they were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way. Now I want us to see two things here. One, we see that there are evil spirits here that have kind of destroyed these two men's lives. And their lives are so damaged that they live out amongst the tombs. No one wants to be around them because they're too violent. They're too scary to be part of society anymore. So everyone just ignores them and stays away from them. How lonely would that be? To have everyone just basically say, "Okay, you guys just stay out over there where you can't hurt anybody." Their lives are broken, right? But what does Jesus do? Does he say, "Oh, yeah, we should probably stay away because there's some evil things over there, so we need to stay away from that"? No. Is that what Jesus does? No, Jesus goes right there. He goes right to where they're at. Why do you think he does that?
To stop it.
Yes. Remember, Jesus said, remember in that prayer that he taught, he said that we're supposed to ask God to protect us from evil. Well, Jesus has power even over the evil things in our world. And so we need to look to him for help in those situations, because there is evil in our world, isn't there? We see even this disease and the physical problems that we have and the natural disasters that happen. Those are all part of the evil that is in our world because of sin, because of what has happened since Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And then all of us also disobey God, don't we? So there's a lot of evil that happens in our world, and this was part of that. But he goes right to them. And what does he do? He casts those evil spirits out of those two men. And what happens? Well, we're going to skip some of this, but we go to the end, and what happens is they go into the city and no one can believe what has happened. I'm sure everybody knew about these two guys that lived out in the cemetery. I'm sure they were like us. I'm sure they had all sorts of stories about, you know, what had happened to them and made all up all sorts of things about them. That's what we do, isn't it? When we're scared of something, we make up all sorts of things. Tell ghost stories and things like that, right? Especially this time of year, we think of that. But they came out because they heard about this incredible thing that had happened. These two men are now, they're healed. They're walking around talking like normal people. Jesus had healed them from this evil that was controlling their lives. But listen to see what happens. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they implored him to leave their region. So Jesus comes, he does this incredible thing. He heals these two people. He drives away this evil that was breaking and damaging their lives. But the people in the town were afraid. They were afraid of who Jesus was. And we're going to see that that's something that actually does happen. Some people are amazed and they want to follow Jesus when they see these incredible things. And other people are like, we don't want anything to do with him. So I want you to think about that, because what are you going to do with Jesus? When you hear about the things Jesus did, we hear about the teaching that he did, and you see the incredible miracles that we read about, understanding that these are all real things. They're not just stories that somebody made up. These are real things that took place. And we have a decision. Are we going to believe that Jesus really is God, that he really is the one who came to save us from our sins, to die in our place and to forgive us? Are we going to choose to believe that, or are we going to choose to not believe that and decide we don't want to listen to him? That's something that each one of us need to think about. So Matthew chapter 8, an amazing chapter that shows us all these different ways that Jesus is proving that he has power over the evil that is in our world. And so that should encourage us. We should say, that's great. Especially if we know Jesus, if we're trusting him, we know that he is more powerful than any of the things in the world that might scare us or frighten us or that we're worried about. He has the power over all those things. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get to our memory lesson. Oh, okay. Go get Kleenex. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We just thank you for just the amazing things that we can read about that Jesus did during his ministry. And I pray that you would help us to make those things real in our heart, and that we would understand that because of this, because of who Jesus is, we can have eternal life if we trust him, if we confess our own sins and we ask him to save us and to change our hearts. Just pray that you would help each of us to consider that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.